Welcome, everyone. This is the Chiropractic Association of South Africa's new podcast series that we have taken on as part of our new way of heading into the 21st century of social media, technology, and to get information out to our members and to the public in a quicker and more technologically savvy way. So I am Dr. Justin Adams. I'm one of your hosts. Also have Dr. Rowan White with us. We will be your hosts for the podcast series going forward for the foreseeable future. And we will be adding different people to our discussions and depending on what the topic is. So first of all, for those who aren't aware of who the Chiropractic Association of South Africa is, the Chiropractic Association of South Africa, also known as CASA, is dedicated to enhancing the standing of the profession in the eyes of the public and being the voice of the profession in the marketplace. They strive to protect the interests of chiropractic and to position the profession through stakeholder management programs. They are focused on helping to advance the profession by promoting it to scholars through their career guidance programs and thereby encouraging interest in the profession among young people and helping those who are already interested to plan their study or career path for smooth sailing success. As a highly regulated association, the Chiropractic Association of South Africa works diligently towards all of their objectives. So CASA also strives to be a liberal voice for all their members by exercising complete transparency and listening to their members' desires and needs, ultimately developing and growing the chiropractic profession within an applicable South African context, considering all ethnic and religious groups, and promoting spine care services to every South African citizen, thereby aligning our health values with the goals of the national health system, gaining recognition and respect as a much-needed health discipline. So, now that the formalities are out of the way, so what will we be covering going forward with our podcast series? I think the main objective of this podcast series will be to explore the art, science, and philosophy of the chiropractic profession, aiming to dive into matters and topics that we face as a society, as chiropractors, and also to help the people, the public, in fact, understand what we do as chiropractors. With the topics, we'll be aiming to increase knowledge through mostly evidence-based information, but also getting opinions from our members and other people in order to get an understanding of how people are, how they see the profession, and also how they face topics and challenges in daily life. I think most of all, we want to try and create engagement between all of you that are listening and to just add a different way that we can get information out to all of you. Just to let you know that this is our first time doing this. Both Rowan and myself have mentioned to each other this is a very new thing for us to do. Daunting, but as time goes on, I'm pretty sure we'll get really good at it, and like I mentioned to Ron, we'll have to upgrade our equipment, get some cool microphones, and then add video into it. But for now, we are going to keep it as casual as possible for our first discussion, and as things grow with over the next few months, start making it a bit more in-depth and a bit more informative for all you listeners going forward. So with that being said, our first topic today is one that Rowan will be telling us more about, or starting us off with. And when we and Rowan first started discussing this, the first thing we asked ourselves, like, where do we start? And the first thing that we both agreed on was something that's been affecting us all over the last 2 to 3 years. And we decided that that would be the best way to start for all our members out there, more importantly. And without further ado, Rowan, you can kick us off with some information and get this discussion started.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. As you said, it is quite a daunting prospect doing a podcast. For me, it's very much like an old dog learning new tricks here. But certainly in the over the 21 years in practice, I've definitely seen changes happening, and certainly over the last 3 years within the profession. I don't think it's restricted entirely to chiropractic. I've got family in the real estate business, and they've also seen change happening in terms of their industry. You know, as we've discussed before, you know, what changes are there, and have we seen in terms of private practice, where historically we've had some days where you could plan your week, plan your month, knowing which days are busy, which are quiet. There's certainly been a change where those days that were historically quiet have now become busy, and vice versa, which makes playing golf a little bit challenging. But it's nothing like a challenge to keep the career interesting. But I definitely noticed that the ebbs and flows in practice have deepened, where previously they've been very sort of shallow ebbs and flows, where what we've seen in recent years, certainly since lockdown, is those ebbs and flows have become certainly deeper, where some days are very quiet, other days are very, very, very busy. And I think the discussion that we need to have as chiropractors, well, certainly within our profession, is how do we as chiropractors counter that, those ebbs and flows, this changing within our profession? It's not necessarily changing how we do things. It might just be changing the perception of chiropractic and how we get ourselves as a profession out there to the public. It could just be that there are different perceptions or different challenges that are faced by the public out there. Justin, I don't know if you want to take
yeah,
it from
no.
there.
Yeah, Ron, I think basically what you're basically saying is that, you know, since the pandemic, before the pandemic, before lockdown started level five, we all had our diaries planned well in advance. We knew exactly what was going to happen next week, the following week. We could kind of predict these behaviors. We knew when it would be quiet, when it would be busier. And all of that's kind of flipped on its head now, and we have no predictors. We have, certainly in my practice, I've found that you can't predict anything, where in the past, I mentioned to you that if in Cape Town, if we had a rainy, miserable day, I knew the phones would be quiet, and I could take time during the day to get paperwork done, or look at x-rays, or get some personal tasks done. But now, it may be the biggest storm in Cape Town, and the phones ring off the hook, and the next day is a beautiful day, and it's quiet as can be. So since the level five lockdown and going down 4-3-2-1 to now, things have changed vastly and within my practice, and I'm sure it has for most of the listeners here. But I think one of the major things I ask myself is, you know, in the past for myself, lower back pain was always, I would say, 70 to 80% of what I would see in practice. Yes, the workplace is still not the best place for most people, but with this new hybrid model of people working from home or working at home and at the office, and ways that businesses have looked to cut down on costs, I've found that lower back pain necessarily isn't the most common thing that I'm seeing in practice now. In fact, I think it would actually go 50-50 in the direction of I'm getting a lot of upper thoracic issues, headaches, tension, shoulder tension, trap tension, neck pain. A lot of sedentary behavior within patients now. I'm finding people aren't exercising as much, and that's all contributing towards dysfunction. So the question is low back pain between yourself up in Maritzburg, is low back pain still something that's the predominant condition seen, or are you seeing new things in practice as well?
Yeah, look, I think definitely low back pain certainly was one of the most common, and certainly I would say is very common, but certainly there's been an uptick in neck, shoulder, headache, and definitely people working from home on bad ergonomics, where they're sitting at a dining room table working on a laptop, where previously at their office they're sitting on an office chair with an ergonomics such that it engages good posture. So yes, definitely that change certainly has been huge. Another common thing I hear from patients who come and see me is they all say, time just seems to be going so fast, and I can't believe it's been a year since I last see you. I can't believe it's been 6 months since I last see you. And I think there too is, it's not just working from home that's increasing the neck issue. I think it's a reliance on social media. We're all sitting on our phones. We are distracted by social media. And if you have a look at the various schematics that show the pressure on the neck, people are spending a lot more time at their computers, certainly on their smartphones. And it's not that time's going quickly, it's that people are distracted. Yeah. And I think that too is leading to an increase in the neck, headaches, trap pain and that sort of thing. How do we counter that?
Yeah. I mean, you've touched on it pretty much, but also another thing that I'm hearing from the public and within my setting is that, and what I've noticed, people aren't moving as much anymore. You know, you were arriving at work at 8 o'clock, you were leaving at 4 p.m., you're getting home, you had your routine, but now people working from home are starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. They are stuck in bed on the computers or sitting at the dining room table or lying on the couch, and they're working well into the evening. I've got patients working 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, which wasn't the case back in the day, which means they are stuck behind the computer and their cell phones for longer periods of time. In the office setting, they're getting up to go to meetings, they are getting up to go to lunch, they had a set amount of hours, and go home, go exercise, spend time with the family, which isn't the case anymore. So, you know, that saying movement is medicine is still applicable, and without people moving as much and being stuck in fixed positions for longer hours is adding to dysfunction within the musculoskeletal system. So I'm noticing that that is one of the major contributing factors within the workplace. And people, they aren't exercising. People don't have time, like you say. They're hustling. And the corporates have decreased staff, increased workload, which means people have less time to do stuff outside of the work setting. And one of the things that takes the seat in this case is the amount of time used to move the body, which is resulting in more pain, per se. So I think that's one of the bigger things that, and you know, it's something that we will have to touch on going forward, but also in this post-pandemic setting, we're looking at, you mentioned patient behavior. Basically, have we noticed a change in the way patients are behaving? Are they doing different things? Are they behaving in ways that are counterintuitive or counteractive with regards to their own health? Is it from the result of finances? Is it challenges they are facing in today's world? So I think more for the chiropractor, what would you say that you've kind of found a challenge now post-pandemic in practice, and that's kind of waterfalled or spilled over into your personal life?
Look, I think post-pandemic anxiety plays a huge factor in most families. I think financial challenges of, you know, the economy is under strain. Load shedding is creating its own issues. You know, Joburg, if there's load shedding, people don't, because they've got to run the gauntlet of crossing over robots that are gridlocked. So I think it's not just a patient behavior thing, certainly. I think there's a lot more that are going on. But I think you also hit the nail on the head there with people who are working from home are not working within office hours. They are, I heard, as we say, patients working till 9 o'clock at night, where that time would have been spent possibly getting exercise, moving around. Again, you hit the nail on the head with movement is so crucial. But definitely, I think we are heading into tough times, but I think we need to evolve as a profession, not necessarily how we treat, but certainly how we communicate with the public. Maybe we can change that behavior of our patients. But another big thing that I've seen within the patient behavior is because of this, the distractions that there are with social media, certainly with working hours at home, is people have become far more reactive and not preventative. So people are not making sure that their bodies are taken care of. They are waiting for a problem to happen before they consult with a chiro. Which is much the same as taking your car to a mechanic when you've already got a knock on the engine. You know, you need 100%. To look after that engine and prevent that knock on the engine.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. I think you mentioned patients coming
so
in.
So how we counter that, I think.
What I was going to say is that, you know, you mentioned patients coming in and they said, oh, it's been a year since I last saw you, or 2 years, and it felt like the other day. And one, they don't have the money for it. I'm finding people are prioritizing other things. They have to prioritize food and school fees, etc. Interest rates hiking up. So people aren't coming in for that little bit of back pain or that little niggle that they used to in the past. They're kind of letting it build up until it's a bigger problem and then expecting results after one session, which is, I mean, sometimes can happen, but most of the time you need that series of treatments in order to get them better. So we're having a lot of reactive care rather than being proactive about their back health. So it comes down to us as chiropractors communicating, like you say, communicating better. Are we communicating effectively with our patients about being proactive rather than reactive, understanding their needs, understanding their positions within at home without prying too much, knowing that they can't financially afford it. How do we help them be better about their back health or their spinal health or just their health in general, knowing that they can't afford to come in for that second or that third visit? So I think the way my practice has changed a lot is that I am doing a lot more patient education these days, because the patient will be upfront. They'll come and they say, listen, Justin, I know this probably needs a couple sessions to get better, but I literally hope that you can perform miracles in this one session and then tell me what I can do at home. So I'm educating a lot more about the things we've just discussed, doing a lot more exercise-based programs, a lot more rehabilitation, stuff that they can do at home, and just letting them know what the risk factors that we have noticed that they maybe might not be identifying, and letting them know to watch out for those. So I think that's the one thing that I've noticed a lot. Yes, I'm not seeing as many people as I did in the past, but I think that's every industry at the moment. So I think that's one thing that I've changed within my practice. I don't know if there's anything that you found that you've had to change within your practice, the way you practice with and how you communicate with your patients since we've got out of this lockdown.
Yeah, I think one thing that I have changed dramatically is the time that I spend with patients. I think the patient education, I think, is crucial. The post-treatment exercise and preventative exercise going forward is also very crucial. But I think, too, as a profession and possibly as an association, we need to provide that content and probably that information to our associates. But definitely, spending more time with your patients, I think, is certainly appreciated by the patient at hand. And I think with the whole concept of you don't want to see them as many times, and if they are going to be coming to see you with a problem, it's not going to be potentially resolved in one treatment, and generally will require one or two, possibly three, to get the problem resolved. But definitely something that I've changed is I spend a lot more time with patients. It's not just about adjusting their backs. It's about providing a holistic care to each and every person.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's good to hear that I'm not the only one dealing with it. And I'm sure there will be a lot of other people listening that will kind of be nodding their heads right now. Because I think there's a lot of time you sit at work when you're quiet and you're wondering, like, am I the only one going through this? On those certain days when you doubt, am I doing something wrong? But when you speak to your colleagues and you speak to other people, and you touched on it when we were chatting before this, that, it's not just our industry, it's not just the chiropractic profession that's dealing with this. It's every other profession that is having its ebbs and flows, but the higher peaks and the deeper dips. So if anyone out there is listening and wondering, am I the only one going through it? You're not alone, and it's affecting us all, and it has certainly changed the way that we do have to do things as a profession and the way we do approach our treatment with our patients and our education. Another thing that I think I wanted to, just thinking about it, actually, one of the things that's happened since the pandemic is this, totally off topic a little bit here, but a lot of patients coming in saying, oh, I saw this video on YouTube, or I saw this TikTok video and this chiropractor did this and that and this and that. So the social media, I think this bang into social media surrounding chiropractic has been quite it's kind of been helpful, but at the same time you can get a lot more people coming in, but just one saying to us, no, I just want to have my spine cracked. I shake my head, but it is what it is. I try to stay as objective as possible in my assessment, but in the same breath, is it detrimental? Is it creating the wrong perception of who we are as chiropractors to the public?
Yeah, look, it's definitely something that I've seen and heard from patients who come through, and there is I'm not going to mention offhand, but there are a lot of guys on there that do these easy chiropractic maneuvers that I don't believe potentially could be safe. But, it hits on the social media aspect of where we're heading as a profession. We need to embrace that. We need to possibly put out, well, as we're doing now, we're putting out these podcasts showing that chiropractic is a safe profession. It's not necessarily as it is portrayed in all of these YouTube videos. So certainly as an association, I think the Chiropractic Association, we need to look into that sort of thing. But again, it's about creating public awareness, and the correct public awareness.
How do we do that though, right?
It's not, well, this is the question. And I think this is what we we are scratching on at the moment with these podcasts. And it's not just about lining people up and these massive cracks, where people also got to realize that a lot of these videos are done with a microphone next to the joints, which makes it sound a lot more prolific than it actually is.
Yeah. Or wrapping a towel around your neck and pulling and hoping that you get that feeling all the way down to your big toe, which you see on social media.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think as we finish off, if we had to, for those listening thinking, how do we get more people through our door with the right idea, thinking, I'm in pain. My first choice was never going to be a chiropractor, but now after XYZ and understanding more about the profession, you have touched on videos, what platforms, what avenues should we focus on as chiropractors or as an association in order to get people saying, you know, chiropractic is my first port of call when it comes to musculoskeletal health and assessment?
Well, I think, again, we go back to social media. We need to embrace social media within the realms that are dictated by the Allied Health Professions Council. But I think, in the broader sense, by promoting the profession under your personal banner, I think will go a long way to helping out everybody, as opposed to just your own personal social media, if you get what I'm trying to say. We need to promote the profession. We need to, in the correct light, and show the right stuff, because there's unfortunately a historical stigma with chiropractic. It is what it is. But I think as a profession, as each person, with every adjustment we deliver, with every social media post we put out there, it needs to enhance the image of chiropractic.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I think from an association, from my point of view, I agree totally with using social media in the correct light. And I think Chiropractic Association of South Africa has done a wonderful job in promoting chiropractic through social media channels, especially what I've seen on Facebook. We have Danella doing a great job over there and the team. But as within a private practice, I think people should get with the times and just kind of realize there are different avenues that you can do within the right framework, laws, Allied Health Professions Council of South Africa. And, you know, if you have any doubts, you can just reach out to COSA and someone will be able to help you. Just from my personal opinion, I think as chiropractors, we shouldn't look at each other as competition. Right now, we need to stick together. From a COSA's perspective, if you are a COSA member, and the best way for you to do it is to try and attend your regional meetings that are happening, chat to your colleagues. Don't be shy to say, hey, listen, I'm going through a dip. Are you going through a dip? If not, is there anything that you can help me out with? And anyone in that instance, or anyone that is respectful in that opinion or on that side, will kind of say, listen, buddy, I'm happy to help you where I can. This is what I've done. This is what that person's done. Because there's enough people out there for every single chiropractor where you have a serious shortage of medical professionals for musculoskeletal health, neuromusculoskeletal health, and chiropractors in general. So make friends with that chiropractor down the road, attend your regional meetings, go and chat about these challenges we're facing. And even under this podcast, wherever it is broadcast on the website or on social media, if there is, we do encourage engagement. So please, if you have some input on what we've discussed today, if you have an opinion, if you have what have you experienced? What have you seen working within that setting? Please do let us know in the comments below, or reach out to us. Just send us an email, and we will hopefully use that information going forward in the next podcast series. We might be able to touch on this topic again going forward if it is something we need to delve into deeper with certain subtopics within this discussion. So yes, on that front, if you do have any other ideas going forward for the podcast, we will be looking at in the next podcast, digging into technique, having some guests onto our show and chatting to us about different techniques that they use, if we don't understand it, or how do we understand it, just kind of getting to learn about the profession, as there are over 200 different techniques out there. And like I said, if you have any topics that you would like to see covered or would like to be on the podcast, then drop us an email. My email is dradams@causacouncil.co.za, and you can also reach out to Rowan at drwhite@causacouncil.co.za. But I think for today, I think that's a good start. I think I feel better now, Rowan. after the discussion. I think we could have carried on a lot longer as
Absolutely.
Well, but I think we keep this short and concise, and going forward, these podcasts could get a little bit more in-depth, a little bit more informative, and we will definitely be hitting the scientific and more evidence-based stuff. But for today, I think from my side, thank you, Rowan, for being here, and thank you for contributing towards our first discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin, I feel like I've got a monkey off my back there. It has been quite a daunting prospect, but I look forward to discussing chiropractic with you going forward and new ideas, new people. I think this is an exciting start to what I think could be a very formative podcast series.
Awesome. Thanks, Rowan. And we'll chat again to all of you guys in the next couple months. We are aiming for probably 4 podcasts a year. So just stay tuned and we will let you know when the next podcast comes out. Thanks. Cheers, everyone.